Day, Cody.
Yes, Dave.
Did you see that sign at the game on
Saturday? Oh, my gosh.
I saw the sign.
There's a guy from here. He did real famous.
Apparently.
Aaron Lee.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my famous co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Oh, apparently famous. no, not famous. Yes, there's a picture going viral right now, I shouldn't even say viral. It's catching a little bit of a draft from other people on social media, especially on the Steelers pages that it's on.
Yeah, Steelers fan pages.
For those of you who don't know, I will fill you in now. I am sadly and unfortunately going through a divorce right now. And it's not no choice of mine, but it is what it is. And a great friend of mine who I've recently met through video gaming and met online, he has his own video game company, Rhino Hawk, from Rhino Hawk Gaming. We've talked about him before on the podcast. Great guy. We met him at training camp the few weeks ago when we went down. And he wound up taking me to the game this week.
What a guy.
And he's like, let's show up early, let's tailgate, whatever. He's like, I'm going to make a sign. I was like, what do you mean you're going to make a sign? He's like, I'm going to make a sign. So he shows up with a marker or a couple markers and a little, you know, cardboard board, whatever. And another good friend, Gumby, who I just met for the first time. Gumby's another gamer, as well as General Worm. I'm calling these guys by their gamer names because that's all I've known them as, which is just, it's funny to now have met these guys in person. But they, Gum made the sign, and it said, he's getting divorced, with an arrow pointing to one direction, which is where I stood the entire night. And it says, and then underneath that, it says, we're getting drunk. And they actually put my Cash App underneath on a little flap that popped down. people did send me money. I didn't get a lot. I didn't want money. I didn't want that to be the case, but I did get money. I did get some free adult beverages throughout the night. And it was a good time. As sad as I am to be going through this and not wanting to be doing this, and still, for a while, I still fought for my relationship, my marriage. At this point, I think I can't do any more than I have. We made very light of a crappy situation. It was a good weekend. It was a good time. Those guys made it fun and made it enjoyable and made it memorable. And if you guys want to see that sign, it will probably be posted on our social media here shortly.
Just look into a Steelers fan page,
yeah,
and you're probably going to find it.
Listen, you're not wrong. but we will post it, and we will have it up there for you guys to see. It was a good time. And actually, at halftime, when the players were going back into the tunnel, we were screaming at a couple of them, and Minka Fitzpatrick and Cam Hayward were walking into the tunnel together, and they both looked up, and they looked at the sign, and they read it, and they both giggled a little bit and laughed. And I took minimum of 100 pictures with that sign. Minimum. Like, people wanted selfies with us. And for those of you who don't know, Rhino is a big man and very loud. Yeah. And he made sure the entire city of Pittsburgh knew I was getting divorced on the way to the stadium as we walked with the massive crowd. So it was a good time. Again, not the ideal thing I'd like to go viral for, but whatever.
You know, I feel like Rhino would be an awesome hype man.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Go watch one of his streams for 20 minutes and you'll realize it.
So, speaking of hype men, we got a couple new followers on Twitter.
We do. We're going to hype you guys up right now.
Yeah, Benzino and Ezra Fisher. Appreciate the follows, gentlemen.
Absolutely. You were bantering with them a little bit,
talking some Steelers.
Absolutely. Is there anything better to talk about?
Never.
Other than the good Lord?
Okay, yeah, there's that.
But, yeah, so thank you guys for the follows. We appreciate it. Hey, we are still growing our online communities on all the social media platforms. Again, if you guys aren't following us, we always say it at the end of the show, but I want to do a little quick pop in now. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We're going to try and go a little bit more heavy on the TikToks when we're doing our video game streaming and stuff like that. Anytime we get to go to the games, we just want to put content out there and really build our community of fellow Steeler fans.
That's it, man.
Steelers news.
Steelers news. Before the game, Antoine Brooks Jr. returned to practice.
Good.
Not a
thank
full participant.
The Lord. I know, it doesn't
not, have to be. Not in like full pads, not in contact drills, but he's getting back in.
Only
into
left
it.
Side pads.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's a strong side.
Strong left side.
Strong side. anyway, also in other Steelers news, remember that first wave of cuts where we cut the first five guys to trim down from 90 to 85?
Yes.
Yeah. Usually people don't claim someone that was cut in that group, but offensive lineman Brandon Walton was claimed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Must have seen something that we didn't, because I don't think I saw him.
Yeah, because he didn't really play because he wasn't very good.
Well, was he?
He was like fourth string guard,
like undrafted free agent. What was he? Okay, so maybe their scout thought they saw something. Yeah. Nothing. I don't know.
I mean, it must be that somebody thought something.
Because they didn't see him in any of the games we played.
Maybe the first preseason game. I think he played in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game. Mm. That's it.
Not much tape there.
No.
Less than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably less than 5, but let's be real. Whatever. Yes. It is what it is. Hey, congratulations, Tampa Bay. You have a sixth-string offensive lineman.
Yeah.
A couple former Steelers.
He's probably about to get cut today.
Probably. When is that? Is that tonight?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Technically, they have to cut down by tomorrow, so we'll find out. The day after we record.
That's okay. We're doing We're doing our 53-minute roster prediction today.
Yeah, so those guys are already going to be off the team for us.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Hopefully. We'll find out.
Pretty embarrassing if somebody that we predict to be on our 53s gets cut in the next 5.
Yeah, freaking James put Ian Berryman on as punter.
Listen, Ian's my dude.
And
right?
He didn't put him on the 53.
That's my dude.
He is a good guy. He talks to us a good amount on Twitter, which is a fun time.
He follows us.
He does. He follows us.
Yeah.
We go to the mall, he goes to the mall. We go to the shoe store, he goes to the shoe store.
That's not how this works.
Anyways, more Steelers news.
Yeah, let's go to the game, man.
Okay, go to the game.
We're on to the game.
So it was hard for me to get... this is the one thing. For anyone who hasn't been to a Steelers game is a wonderful experience. You do not go to necessarily enjoy the game. Let me put it that way. Especially when there's a big divorce sign held above your head the entire time. I didn't get to watch as much of the game as I would have liked, but I did go back and watch highlights and remember enough that I can talk about the game, obviously. But James is definitely going to be the vocal person for today's recap, just for the simple fact that I was too busy taking selfies and talking to people during that time.
When you're a minor celebrity, that's the way things work.
It was a wild time. Listen, the guy punching out the wife and the husband is getting more publicity right now, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That was ridiculous.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
The lady was still in the wrong for hitting him first. I don't know what happened beforehand. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
But the guy still shouldn't have hit the woman in the face. Whatever.
Yeah. You don't need to be doing that nonsense.
But she shouldn't have hit him.
Speaking of nonsense,
yeah, let's go.
Anybody that says Ben Roethlisberger's washed up, that's nonsense, man, because he looked great in this game.
He looks phenomenal.
Starting
in this game.
Offense. We're going to go there first. Okay. Then we're going to get into players. I'm also going to say starting defense before we get into players.
That's fine.
All right, cool. So Ben Roethlisberger, maybe you heard of him, started the game at quarterback.
The QB.
Najee Harris. Imagine that, the starting running back. Juju Deontay and James Washington.
No Claypool.
The starting wide receivers. Claypool tried to give it a go before the game. Not 100% on the ankle yet, but I think he'll be fine for the fourth preseason game. Eric Ebron got the start at tight end. Offensive line. Jaquan McCorfor, Kevin Datsun, Kendrick Green, Trey Turner. And Jaboy
Zach Banner.
The Hulk.
What we kind of expect to be the starting five.
Yeah, fully expect.
Mine is... listen, we'll talk about it. We'll move forward, but we'll talk about it.
We're not putting Presley Harvin out there on the starting line,
starting center.
Stop it.
Starting defense.
Nose tackle.
Tyson Alualu.
Why not, right? He's got the size.
He's pretty big.
So, Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, we're not going starting defense?
So, starting defense.
I'm gonna alert you guys. This is a little bit later than we're used to recording, and James may be past his beddy by time. So, he's getting a little loopy. And he's got some... You can finish that.
I got most of this iced tea in me, so there's plenty of caffeine going on here. Yeah. That always helps out.
He's a little wired tonight.
Yeah.
He's taking a sip. Let him give him a minute. Brisk. This ad is not sponsored.
Not yet. Give it time.
Give it time.
So Cam Hayward started on defense. Tyson Alualu, Chris Wormley, Alex Highsmith, Ingram on the other side, Devin Bush, Joe Schobert, Joe Hayden, Trell Edmonds, Megan Fitzpatrick, Cam Sutton.
And then starting nickel was also Cam Sutton, technically.
Yep. Yeah, technically Sutton. So when they went to the nickel defense, then James Pierre came in, played outside corner. Cam Sutton slid into the nickel, which is something that they kind of teased previously with some of the coaching staff talking about it.
Yeah.
This is, I think, more to do with Antoine Brooks Jr. being injured still than it is anything else, because I don't think Arthur Maulette has shown enough for them to really be that confident in him. I really haven't seen him break up any passes yet.
No.
I've heard he's had some interceptions in practice, but what are you showing in games?
Yeah, especially when you're coming in against their lesser players.
Yeah, he's played against a lot of second and third string quarterbacks and wide receivers, and he isn't getting any breakups.
Nope.
That's not a good sign.
Not a good sign.
So you'd like to see a little bit more, and I think that's why they're making the switch here. So if Antoine Brooks has a great fourth game, then maybe, but I think we might even see just situational on that.
Yeah.
Where, like, Brooks Jr. will play in, like, third and short, if it's, like, third and one or third and two.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, like, third and longer or, like, a more obvious passing situation, then they'll go with Sutton and Pierre, I think.
Yeah. But now moving back to Ben Roethlisberger not being washed up.
Yeah, man. You got his stats. I want to see this, man. I know he had a perfect game. I know he had a perfect rating in the game. There it is, man. Maybe it's better than I remembered. 8 of 10 for 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
No interceptions. That's not exactly the key, but it is the key. If you're saying he's washed up and using last year, the ending of last year especially, to say that he's washed up, that no interceptions matters. Big time.
But he can't scramble anymore, they say.
Oh, he scrambled. He didn't scramble, but he necessarily... I mean,
oh, that was a scramble, man.
Isn't it a scramble?
Well, okay, technically running, whatever. But
He eluded, like, the rush, though. The pass rush.
Yes. On the very first drive, Okorafor kind of didn't take a great angle, and Ben had to roll out to his left. Didn't find anybody yet, so he barreled back around to the right. Oh, just making people miss left and right. Kind of like young Ben Roethlisberger. Bombs it downfield, and then Eric Ebron dropped the ball.
Sad so, day.
It was one heck of a play by Ben to make so many people miss and really elude so much pressure. And then just a bad punctuation to it, really.
Yeah.
But overall, Ben was very accurate.
Ben played phenomenal, and the two touchdown passes that he had could not have been thrown any better. And I'm going to make a shameless plug here for myself.
Yeah, do it.
I called both of these before, prior to the snap, that both those touchdowns were going to Pat Freiermuth.
Prove it.
Ask the people I was sitting with.
Mm-hmm.
Go ask Rhino.
Go ask the drunk Rhino. Is that what you're telling me?
He's there. He didn't drive, so that's good.
Thank God.
But yeah. But again, it was... Ben just played very phenomenal. Ben had a great game. Najee Harris had a great game. I believe both out of the back, like catching the ball out of the backfield as well as rushing.
Yeah.
Had two really good plays that I remembered. The one quick pass that he made a guy miss and ran up the sideline, and then the other run where he's just dragging people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I felt like, so he had 4 runs for 10 yards, but 2 were really nice runs, and the other 2, the blocking just kind of got blown up. One of them, Trey Turner, tried to pull from the right side to the left, and it didn't work. It just created a huge pileup way behind the line, mm-hmm. which really destroyed his average. But then we saw later on in the game a really nice play-action fake. Then Ben dumps it off to Najee Harris, and Najee takes it down the sideline for 46 yards in a huge shout-out to Eric Ebron on the play, who has improved his blocking from last year. In fact, he used a technique that Danny Smith taught to all the special teamers last year, where you turn your back to the person that you're attempting to block, put your arms out to your sides like you're boxing somebody out for a rebound in basketball.
Yep.
And you cannot possibly get called for a block in the back when you do that. He did that, and it helped Najee turn the corner and get a huge, huge play for the offense.
Absolutely. Broke some dude's ankles.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Okuda from last year's draft.
Yeah, first round pick 2 years ago. Come on, man.
Breaking them ankles. You gotta go get them. They're still on the field.
That's it.
That's it.
Tape them up.
Yeah, Juju had a decent game.
Do you want to talk to the other quarterbacks first?
You want to go quarterback?
Yeah, let's finish out the quarterbacks.
That's fine. We went to Najee a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph.
Mason.
13 of 18 for 138.
Yeah, that's a good game, man.
I think this was one of the better games for him.
Yeah.
This preseason.
And I would say, too, the completion percentage, although very good, 72%, is almost a little bit skewed by a couple of balls that just barely missed, you know? He almost hit Pat Freiermuth for his third touchdown of the game.
Yep.
But he was getting hit at the same time as he threw the ball, so it was a hair behind Freiermuth, and it got broken up. He had a couple other ones in the end zone as well where just the receiver couldn't get the second foot down, like Juju in the corner, right corner of the end zone, yep. Almost got one for a touchdown. I felt like Mason was very, very close to putting a ton of points up in this game. But he moved the ball down the field effectively. They got some field goals off of his drives. And, you know, he didn't turn the ball over, although he did have one throw that definitely should have been picked off.
Definitely. Could have been picked off by three guys.
But other than that, he played very, very well. That was just one bad throw.
Yeah, and I think Mason's still learning from that. I think Mason's still improving. I'm still team Dwayne Haskins, even though Haskins had one of the lesser performances of the preseason so far. He was 4 for 7, 56 yards, 57.1 completion percentage. I'd like to see him run with the first or second team more than what he did. I don't think that's the reason why he had the completion. Like, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. However, Dwayne Haskins did not perform as well as he did last week by any means.
Yeah, drastically better game week two than week three for Dwayne. Still didn't turn the ball over, so that's good. He had a habit of doing that when he was with Washington and isn't really an issue for him here in this preseason so far. But again, just I felt like when Dwayne missed this week, he missed pretty badly, and last week he was a lot more accurate.
Yeah, so nothing too crazy with Haskins on this. I hope to see him. I think we will see him more next game for sure, because I don't think Ben's going to play. That's my guess. So moving on from that, moving to running backs. We already talked about Najee. Najee didn't do anything crazy.
Not running, but receiving.
Well, yes, receiving he did phenomenal. 2 for 53.
That's fantastic.
The one being 46, so he had another one for what? 8, 7?
Yeah, another 7 yards.
Yeah. That's great. It's still good, don't get me wrong. But Najee, that's what we're going to come to expect from Najee. I think Najee's going to be better than Le'Veon just because of pure size and strength. Is my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think Najee's a little bit quicker than Le'Veon was. And I think he's stronger, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be pretty fun watching him bulldoze some people in the AFC North this year.
Yeah, truck sticking some people. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you put 215-pound linebackers up against them that are second-round picks.
Very true.
I don't think that's going to go too well for them little guys.
But the rest of the running backs, Kalen Ballage had himself a game. 7 rushes for 30 yards, 4.3 average. Just showed power. A lot of power, a lot of ball carrier vision that I think we just haven't seen out of everyone else.
Yeah, and I think he maintained his balance through contact well in this game too. A few times, took some hits, kept right on going. Maybe stumbled a little bit, but he never went down. And that's the mark of a good back, you know. So this is a guy that's been kind of a journeyman in the NFL so far. But for Pittsburgh, it almost looks like he's got a second life, you know, a second fresh breath of air for him. And the kid looks the part, man. He almost looks the same size as Najee almost, really. And he's pretty quick for a big guy, too. So exciting to see. I feel like Pittsburgh gave him a real good chance this game. A real big run.
Mm-hmm.
He ran as the third running back. Anthony McFarland was the second one to come in the game. But Kalem had the best rushing performance of all the backs in this game.
Yeah.
So nice to see him get that opportunity and take the most of it. And then good in the receiving game, too, with 2 catches, 17 yards.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Very nice.
That's nice for your running back.
Very, very, very nice. Like we said, Jalen Samuels and Anthony McFarland were the last two guys, the second and fourth guys to come in. McFarland, 6'11", nothing crazy there. And Jalen Samuels, 7 for 16, also nothing crazy there. Those are the two guys that, when you look at the 53-man roster, are on the fringe, I would say. Even though I think McFarland should be over top of Samuels. I think we both feel that way.
I think personally that McFarland's a lock at this point. I think Pittsburgh looks at him as the number two running back. And I think Ballage really helped his case. And he ran in front of Samuels in this game too. So I think that speaks to how the coaching staff looks at him as well.
Fair enough. Moving on to receivers, we talked a little bit about, you know, the running backs as far as receivers concerned. Other than that, Juju Smith-Schuster had himself a game, 5 receptions for 39 yards, but he was hitting and carrying people down the field.
Yep, showing that big boy strength, you know. Young man has not been shy about how much he hits the weights.
Nope.
Joe Hayes is proud of him.
He says, "I lift weights." You haven't seen the video of Joe Hayden being a little bit extra on the field against the Denver Broncos. You should go look at it before he gets destroyed by KJ Hamler.
Which is funny because KJ Hamler is only like $180.
Mm-hmm.
But KJ Hamler also did like 20 reps on the bench in the combine. So he's really strong.
Very, very strong.
But it was nice to see some of these guys, you know, James Washington getting some run with that first team offense. Deontay Johnson did as well, had a real nice catch on a deep ball from Ben. Ben underthrew a hair.
He did, and he knows it.
But Deontay adjusted to it great, made the catch, avoided the hit, and, you know, 43 yards is great, man. I think it's worth noting that the fourth wide receiver in this game was actually Cody White. He got in the game before Ray McCloud.
He did. He didn't have any targets, sadly, but he came in, which I think says where Pittsburgh may be trying to play him, trying to see if he's the guy to come in and be the fourth, fifth, sixth guy on the team, depending on how many receivers they carry. Remember last year, when we did the 53-man roster predictions, we both thought they'd bring on six or have six wide receivers. So if they have six, does he fall in that fifth or sixth spot?
Yeah.
The best thing about him all game was he had a phenomenal block.
Yeah. Sprung Ray Ray for 30 yards.
Yeah, big block on a screen pass. So
took out two DBs on the block.
Just by being in the right position.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he's a guy that gets it. You know, in an X's and O's game, he gets it. He knows where he's supposed to be and seems versatile enough to play multiple positions, whether it be X, Y, or Z. Seems like he can play them all.
And another famous Pittsburgh Steeler who wore number 15 was Hines Ward his freshman year. Oh, my gosh, rookie year.
Yeah.
He wore 15.
That's right.
Another blocking wide receiver maybe wearing the number 15.
You never know.
You never know.
Tight ends.
Pat Freiermuth was definitely the highlight of the show. 2 catches, 2 targets, 2 touchdowns. What more do you have to say for the freaking Penn State giant of a man?
The dude's blocking well, too.
Oh, phenomenally well.
That's the great thing about this. We've said it before. I'll say it again probably 100 times. Mike Tomlin over and over, every time he caught the ball, said, "That's great, but can you block?" Kid's been showing very good blocking capabilities, but just that ability to separate just enough to give Ben somewhere to throw the ball, caught both of Ben's touchdown passes, almost had a third from Mason, but the ball was a little bit behind him. I believe if that ball was out in front of him, we're talking about him getting a hat trick and touchdowns in his third preseason game, and technically his second one because he didn't get to play one of them.
Yep.
So great game by him. Very up and down from Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
You know, he had some good blocks in the game, which I think showed a little bit of improvement there from his previous experience blocking. And then some drops and then some nice catches and run after the catch. And it just kind of sums up who Eric Ebron is, you know?
Sadly.
If he catches the ball, he's an exciting player. But
if he drops the ball, he makes you want to rip your hair out.
Yeah.
He got booed very aggressively at the stadium when he dropped the one pass.
Yeah, he had an issue with that last year, so he's got to clean it up. And if he doesn't, he's going to expect to get booed more this year.
Yep.
Very interesting how early Zach Gentry got in this game.
Zach Gentry came in very early.
In the first drive.
And performed astoundingly well.
So we all know that Zach Gentry, being a former quarterback, was not known for his blocking. In this game, I thought it was like somebody else in his uniform, man. Dude was blocking great in this game.
Yeah.
Multiple times lined up on the outside as an extra offensive lineman almost. One-on-one with pass rushers and washing them right up the arc and past the quarterback. I was really impressed with what he did in this game from a blocking perspective.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what he had to do in order to beat out Kevin Radar.
Yeah.
Right? Kevin Radar was whooping his butt as far as blocking. Zach Gentry comes out and shows he can block. Now you got a different story maybe at the tight end position.
It changes the narrative on tight end room, that's for sure.
It does, especially since Raider didn't get in the game until the fourth quarter.
Nope. He had a catch, thankfully, for 2 yards. But, yeah, I mean, the third and – I should say third and fourth. This year it's going to be the second and third game, still third and fourth for us technically with the Hall of Fame game. Those last two games of preseason are typically when you see teams trying to play people – earlier if they expect them to be potential, you know, end of the roster type guys that are fighting for those last spots. And the fact that we didn't see Raider at all until the last drive or the last quarter, really last drive, says a lot about Zach Gentry's growth. So I'm really excited to see what happens with Zach Gentry, because I think if he improved his blocking, that changes the — we already know he can catch — that changes the game.
It does, too, because a lot of this, you know, we always talk about the NFL draft and what Pittsburgh needs to be looking at in future years. Realistically, Eric Ebron is not going to be back next year. We expected Pat Freiermuth to be able to make the jump, be the starting tight end next year. But then we were saying, what the heck were we going to have past that? If Gentry develops, now we got a number two maybe next year.
You may not need to draft a number three. You may pick up an undrafted guy.
Yeah, just pick up a bunch of undrafted guys and let them battle it out.
Yep.
Or maybe you bring Raider back again. You never know.
Yeah.
There's no limit now on how many years somebody can be on a practice squad. So why not see if you can sneak him on a squad again another year? And maybe next year's his time if they don't go with another tight end in the draft, which it looks like they're not going to have very many picks. So I doubt they'll take a tight end.
Yeah, very true. We keep trading them away. So moving on to defensive,
Yeah, start with the D-line, huh?
D-line, well, I think the obvious thing to start with is the fact that Melvin Ingram's outside linebacker. I'd probably go the fact that Isaiah Bugs, played a lot in this game.
Yeah, he played more
than I expected him to play.
Yeah. Yeah, the way they did the rotation, once you had Cam Hayward, Tyson Alualu, and Chris Wormley out, then it was a group of four guys being subbed in. That group of four was Carlos Davis, Henry Mondo, Isaiah Loudermilk, and Isaiah Bugs. And Bugs basically played at tackle, a D-tackle the whole time. Seems almost like Carlos Davis is making a transition to defensive end to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, when you're playing a nickel defense, your defensive ends and defensive tackles are the same thing.
Yeah,
they're all playing the same position at that point in time. But there seems to be a lot more emphasis on kick coverage and punt coverage units for Carlos Davis to see if he can do the same stuff that Henry Mondo did last year. Henry Mondo, by the way, got two tackles on kick coverage in this game.
Special teams MVP. Here he comes.
Oh, man. It just says a lot. Well, you know,
he does have to go up against PH3, so maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
Never know. But, yeah. The fact that they're using him on coverage says a lot. They're still
using... What if he's a team captain?
No shot.
What if he's... They always do one special teamer.
Maybe.
Dude.
I would lose my mind if
Mondo gets the captain.
I don't know. We can definitely be excited for it.
He's got to make the team.
Mondo has been... Here's the thing with Mondo. He doesn't have the stats to light up the board right now. I mean, the special teams tackles are huge, but like defensively stats there. But he's a lot of the time in good position to make a play.
And he's getting a lot of pressures too.
And he's getting taken out by other guys.
Yeah.
Like other guys on the defense.
Yeah.
So
linebackers taking bad angles.
Yeah. So I think Mondo's still making a very hard push to make a name for himself on this team, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be very interesting to see who that cut down is, because it seems like you got 8 guys that are all worthy of the roster, and they usually only keep 6, although they did keep 7 last year. True. So we'll see if they go 7 again this year, or, you know, I would kind of like to see them see if they could get anything for Chris Wormley in a trade, but that's...
Yeah, there's a couple guys that we can be talking about with trade stuff. For sure, but we can get into that a little bit later. Want to move on to linebackers.
Outside first, then inside?
Yeah, let's go outside first.
All right.
No TJ Watt. No surprise.
Nope.
Lot of Alex Highsmith.
Rumor with TJ is that he's going to sign his extension after the Panthers game. So look for that coming up soon this week, right?
Yeah.
Thursday is the next game.
It's either Friday.
It's
Friday at 7:30-ish.
So we might see a Saturday or Sunday contract extension from TJ.
That's what we're waiting for.
And the rumor is he will be the highest paid defensive player in the NFL.
Doesn't surprise me.
He deserves it.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, Alex had another nice game. I don't think he hit the quarterback this game.
Nope.
We saw a few times Ingram just manhandling offensive linemen. I know he blew up one play for a loss of like 7 or something. It was pretty crazy. And the backup linebackers to him, Cassius Marsh, I felt like had a quiet game.
Very quiet.
Quincy Roche and Jameer Jones a little bit more active than them.
Yeah. Still not as active as we've seen Jameer Jones to be.
Yeah.
But more active nonetheless. He did have a half sack with Marcus Allen in the game, which Marcus Allen being middle linebacker, we'll get to him in a minute. Actually, probably now. There's not much more to talk about outside linebackers.
No, that's it. That's the only guys that played. Yeah. So, yeah. Middle linebackers, actually, the starters played all the way into the third quarter, which probably wasn't a bad idea.
No, it's just for chemistry between Bush and Schobert to kind of get
they haven't played together.
Each other, so.
Yeah, so at least we got a chance to see that. Schobert got to work on
angles,
getting people to the ground better.
Yeah.
Angles.
I don't know, man.
It's
all of it.
I hope he looks a lot better in the fourth preseason game. Because what I saw in this game, I said, well, at least we only traded a 6th for him.
Yeah, I feel like we're taking shots in the dark on some middle linebacker trades. You think about the Avery Williamson trade, that didn't pan out.
No, but I mean,
he wasn't as, you know, valued.
No, he was what he needed to be, you know. We just needed a run stopper, and that's what he was.
True.
But then they insisted on playing him on passing downs, too, and that was a bad idea.
Very bad idea. So, again, middle linebackers, you saw Marcus Allen come in. He ended the game with 2 tackles, that half sack. Robert Spillane played a little bit. Made a couple bad angles on some plays. Robert Spillane really didn't look like the Robert Spillane of last year in this game.
No. I felt like he had one good play where he splashed and hit the running back. And a couple times I saw Marcus Allen shooting gaps. And it paying off, and then another time he shot a gap, and it didn't pay off, and the running back got to the edge because of it. So I feel like Marcus Allen is starting to kind of turn the corner and actually really look like a middle linebacker. As the word before, he kind of looked like a safety trying to play a middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Past that, unfortunately, we didn't even get to see Buddy Johnson in this game. Or Ulysses Gilbert III.
No, very concerning for those two.
Neither one of them even got to play. That's real bad for their chances at the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
I think both will get plenty of playing time in the fourth preseason game, because I doubt they play many starters in that fourth preseason game. But still, rough look. That it's just such a stark contrast. You got Dan Moore Jr. on one side, who played right tackle through like 3 quarters of this game, starting from the third drive on till almost the end of the game. Didn't give up a single pressure. Mm-hmm. Hasn't given up a pressure or a hit or a sack the entire preseason. And he's playing both left tackle and right tackle now. Never played right tackle before this week in a game. And then later on in the same fourth round, you got Buddy Johnson. He can't get on the field. It's such a stark contrast. I did not think that Dan Moore was going to look this good But you have to. I mean, I'm switching to the wrong side of the ball here again.
Yeah, whatever.
But I almost feel like this is going to possibly make Okorafor 4 expendable after this season, unless Okorafor 4 has a really, really good season. But Dan Moore Jr. is really upping his own stock, and I'd like to see that happen from Buddy Johnson in the fourth preseason game, but just didn't get to see him even play, unfortunately.
Yeah, so not a whole lot to talk about as far as, I mean, for me personally, when it comes to corners or safeties, there wasn't a lot that happened in my mind. The biggest thing, if I can make the jump to safety first, Terrell Edmonds read a screenplay beautifully. Yeah,
blew that thing
beautifully.
Up.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
Best play he's had all year, hands down, not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very, very good to see him progress in that aspect as well. The IQ to be aware of the running back, even if that was his man, he didn't, you know, bite anything else on a, I think it was a fake run or something. But just a great way for him to blow up the play and a great read for him.
Yeah, it was a screen pass, and after him blowing that play up, ended up 3rd and 20. Really nice job on his part. Justin Lane did make a splash again with another pass breakup in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see him early in the game as well. So once Justin Lane was in the game, you saw him and James Pierre playing a lot. Then Shakur Brown got a lot of snaps in there at nickel corner. Not as much Arthur Mollett in this game, I feel like. They're still just trying to figure this nickel situation out.
Yeah, for sure.
So Shakur Brown has been splashing in special teams. First two games really stuck out as far as coverage and making tackles. In this game, he was the guy that sprung Matthew Sexton on that long punt return.
Yeah.
You know, he actually, you pointed it out when we were watching the replay of it to get some more
he a lot of the guys in that situation will run up and then just look at the guy and be like, oh, and expect him to get tackled. No, he turned around and said, come this way, and then got himself in a position to get in front of him and block for him. He wound up not making direct blocking contact with people, but he got in the way of three different individuals on the defense that helped spring that 47-yard return.
Yeah, that's a heck of a return, man.
Yeah. 47 on one return. Ray McLeod only had 8.5 on two. Sad day for Ray.
But not for Sexton.
No, not at all.
I mean, he's starting to make people think.
He made me think.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
If you don't make the 53, if you don't have him on your practice squad, you're crazy, right?
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Gotta be crazy. I don't know.
I don't think I really have anything else from the safeties. I thought Trey Norwood had a better game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
Sometimes a better game just means you did less bad things.
That's it, you know?
I knew where you were going.
He didn't stick out from a negative standpoint like he did in the second game.
Yeah.
And I thought he did make a couple nice angles and some nice tackles in the game. So I'm happy with that performance from him. Two tackles on the game. And he just looked more comfortable.
Comfortable on the defense, comfortable with his positioning, everything.
Yeah.
Very, very good to see that from him. So that's going to wrap up the game recap, excuse me.
Oh!
Whatever. but now we're going to quickly go through our 53-man roster predictions, because if we don't get them out this week, it's not going to matter next week, because they're going to be done.
So, by the time we record again, the next preseason game will be in the books. And the 53-man roster will probably be decided already, too.
Absolutely. So we're going to go through position by position. We're going to take turns back and forth. Quarterback, you want me to start or you to start?
Go ahead. It's going to be Chalk.
And here's the thing. I'm not doing depth chart stuff. This is just who's making the team. We don't have to talk anything about that just yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Because we'll fight. quarterback, Ben. I almost said Ben Rudolph. Wow. Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins.
I also have Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph as the number two, and Dwayne Haskins
in no specific order. Halfback. Give me your halfbacks.
Of course, Najee Harris, Anthony McFarland, Kalen Ballage, and I'm putting Benny Snell on the back end of it right now.
With the injury, yeah.
I felt like Benny would have been the number two, but he hasn't played a single preseason game yet. Hopefully he can get in this last one.
Again, no specific order. Najee Harris, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, Kalen Ballage. So far, we're 7-7.
Derek Watt at fullback.
What? Derek Watt at fullback. Yeah. Yeah. Wide receivers, I have Juju, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, James Washington with a little asterisk in case he gets traded, Ray-Ray McCloud, and Matthew Sexton.
I only went five, leaving Sexton off the roster, but the other five, Juju, Deontay, Chase Claypool, James Washington, and Ray-Ray McCloud. Next man up for me might be Cody White if I were to add another wide receiver, but I needed that extra roster spot for other positions.
Fair enough. Tight end, Eric Ebron, Pat Freiermuth, and Zach Gentry.
I'm the same.
There's no way you have anything different.
Yeah. I was team radar this whole way until this last preseason game. Gentry, I really felt separated himself, and now is deserving of that number three spot. Unless he has an awful, awful fourth preseason game, I think it's Gentry's spot to lose at this point.
All right. How do you want to do offensive line? Go through the whole thing or position by position?
Let's go tackles and then interior.
Okay. So my tackles.
Yeah.
Chukwuma Okorafor, yeah. Zach Banner,
yeah.
Dan Moore Jr., Joe Haig.
I have the same four. I don't see anybody pushing Joe Haig.
I sadly don't.
The next guy is probably, what, John LeGlue?
John LeGlue, and he's
been playing guard and center, too. So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't see any other tackles on the team. Aviante Collins didn't even get to play in this preseason game. Nope. So,
give me your guards.
We've got Kevin Dotson, Trey Turner, B.J. Finney, and then I'll throw the centers in there as well with Kendrick Green and J.C. Haas. Now, that was the tough one for me. I really wanted to put Rashad Coward. But I feel like J.C. Hasenauer might be a better center than Coward as a guard. And I also feel like B.J. Finney jumped Coward in the depth chart in this third game. Wow. And I think that means a lot.
Stop reading my notes. Same exact thing.
Yeah, I wanted Coward on
there. Dotson, Finney, Trey Turner, Kendrick Green, J.C. Hasenauer. Rashad Coward would be the first guy on no matter what the position if I had to put somebody back on the... So.
Yeah.
Gives us that depth on really the offensive line as a whole. Defensively, I can go defensive ends, and then we can go interior, which will be fun. I have Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Chris Wormley, Isaiah Loudermilk, as well as Henry Mondeau. My reason for that is there's a bunch of guys, Chris Wormley, I think Isaiah Loudermilk and Mondeau all could play interior if they needed to be, which is why I have five guys on the outside.
Yeah, so I have the same five on the outside. I couldn't keep Mondeau off of it. I feel like his special teams value is just rare. I like what they're doing with Carlos Davis in an attempt to get him doing the same thing, but just because a man can run down the field doesn't mean he's going to make plays when he gets there.
Fair enough.
And Mondeau has a nose for making plays.
Yep. At the defensive tackle or nose tackle position, I have Tyson Alualu, and that is it.
For me, I have Tyson Alualu and Isaiah Buggs.
Fair enough.
I kept him over Carlos Davis because I think he is just more of a D-tackle, nose-type player. And if Alualu goes down, you have guys that can play D-tackle, but not necessarily nose. I think Isaiah Buggs can plug in there in the center in two-gap and really plug up a running game in a way that Carlos Davis does not.
Fair enough. Give me your outside linebackers.
I'm going to be just four of them with TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Melvin Ingram, and then I went with Quincy Roche. I really had a tough time on that. Cassius Marsh seemed like the favorite for a long time, but he kind of went quiet the last couple of games. Jameer Jones had some really nice games, but in the end, Pittsburgh values their draft picks, and I think they're going to try to keep Quincy Roche on the team.
I agreed. So I also had TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, obviously, Melvin Ingram, Quincy Roche. And I actually kept Jameer Jones on the team as well for my 53-man roster. I think he has played too well and is too valuable on special teams to just be dropped like that. So I think if we drop him, he's getting picked up by somebody first hour that he's not on the team. So again, those are the five guys I think that we're keeping there. Inside linebackers, I have... Devin Bush, Joe Schobert, Robert Spillane, and Buddy Johnson.
And we differ once again at this one.
We do, I know.
Devin Bush, of course, I have Joe Schobert, Robert Spillane, then I have Marcus Allen and Buddy Johnson. Two reasons for Marcus Allen. Number one, I felt like he had a better game than Robert Spillane did in that third game. Number two, Marcus Allen does run as the personal protector also on special teams. It's a very important position. And I think it's just a bad look if you cut Buddy Johnson. I haven't really seen enough to say I think he's for sure going to make the team. But a fourth-round pick, man, if you cut him, it really makes it look like you evaluated very poorly.
It does.
So I can't see them cutting him just because of the draft stock, how much that is valued, a fourth-round pick, even though it was a compensatory fourth, still a fourth-round pick.
Absolutely. Give me your corners.
All right. I'm going to separate these guys by outside corners and nickel corners. Your outside guys, Joe Hayden, Cam Sutton, James Pierre, and Justin Lane. Then at the nickel, Antoine Brooks Jr. So I kept five corners total.
I also kept five corners, and surprise, surprise, the same ones. Joe Hayden, Cam Sutton, Justin Lane, James Pierre, and Antoine Brooks Jr. Now, if you're looking at depth, you have options there on the outside and the nickel as well. Safeties, I'll just go free safety, then strong safety back-to-back. Minkah Fitzpatrick and Trey Norwood. On the free safety, strong safety, Terrell Edmonds and Miles Killebrew.
I don't see any other choices. I want to say Donovan Steiner has had a decent preseason so far. Probably will make the practice squad. I don't see him pushing any of these guys for their roster spots, though.
And last thing, kicker, punter, long snapper, Chris Boswell, Presley Harvin III, and Cameron Kanaday.
Man, I don't know how you can do Christian Kuntz like that. Okay, I don't think he's even snapped any balls in this preseason.
No.
I'm in the same boat there. Although the battle punter is very close, I do believe they're going to lean towards Presley Harvin III, and yeah. I hope that they do.
Jordan Berry has done a lot to try and up his value for the team, and I applaud him for that. I just wish it wouldn't have taken getting somebody else in here for him to have done that.
Yeah.
Is basically my stance on it, that.
And I feel like he's just so hot and cold, man. You know, like one year he's good, the next year he's not. One week he's good, the next week he's not. And I know Presley Harvin III's got a history of being intermittent sometimes as well. But I'll take the intermittent rookie over the intermittent vet.
Fair enough. So that's going to do it for our episode here. Real quick, I actually got to meet another cool person at the game while I was down there. Her name was Andrea. She actually works for a company called Canarchy Craft Brewing Collective, which has Oscar Blues and Cigar City Brewing. And it was actually cool because she actually knew my buddy who works for Edinburgh Beverage, and the places that she works for actually distribute their beverages in Erie by Edinburgh Beverage. And it's actually available at many distributors and bars around the town and around the area. Just really cool to run into somebody and make that connection. And, you know, that's the cool thing about going to some of these games. You just meet people sometimes that just, you know, you make connections, you build friendships, and you really start to build even a professional community for us. Having someone that works in that kind of line of work, you never know. Sponsorships or partnerships or whatever can come along. So
yeah, you want a sponsorship with us, we will absolutely advertise your product on our show.
Abso-frickin-lutely. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening to this long episode. Good episode, though. A lot to talk about. We got a little out of hand early, but we're back. And again, don't forget to follow and like on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok @Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.